we would ask you at this time to continue to pray for Elder W.C. Hammond, West Monroe Primitive Baptist Church in Monroe, Louisiana, of the Louisiana Association. And I can tell you from experience, he stands in need of your prayers tonight.
Thank you, brother.
May the Lord bless you, Elder.
Thank the church for our wonderful thing they've been doing here and taking care of this association, and thankful for the privilege of being here. My mind is kind of twirling right now. I know the ministry knows what I'm talking about. We've had some discussions and to settle in on what I might want to talk about is to be God's blessing for tonight. I believe I need to talk about the kingdom of God tonight. Been trying to preach about that for quite a while at home, and such a broad subject that it's hard to get it concise down sometimes. And I hope just to give you a blessing tonight to, first of all, glorify God while we're here to do that. And the gospel in his kingdom has already been preached here today.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about, the kingdom of God. I realize we try to divide the kingdom up in different ways, and appropriately so probably in some context, but what I want to talk about to you tonight is focused right on what we're in and where we're at. We're in the kingdom of God. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, I've looked at Daniel, some of those places, and of course it was talking about this kingdom that we are in today, the final kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. It's never going to end. But we're in it. We're blessed to have it. And we can enjoy it right here in East Baton Rouge. We can enjoy it where we're at, up in the north part of the state, and people all over this country and all over the world can enjoy this kingdom. It's never going to end. We don't have to worry about the economy. It's been mentioned just about everywhere you go, about what's going to happen tomorrow or down the road, or our children, grandchildren. Sometimes I might get in the natural thinking of flesh and worry about that. But I don't have to worry about it if we get in the kingdom of God and understand what this kingdom is. It's not of the world. We don't need to try to bring the world here into this place. We need to abide by God's word and his teaching. Some of the last words he told us in Matthew was to teach all these things I've commanded thee. Go teach them. And that's what we're doing in the kingdom of God, teaching about the kingdom of God. So, you pray for me that I'll be concise and try to get to the point and get out of the way. But this kingdom is, many of the passages in Scripture sometimes we get kind of bungled up with and look at it in this aspect, such as Romans, in the 11th chapter of Romans. Let's just look at that 10th and 11th chapter of Romans. Sometimes we go to and love to preach out of it, but he says over in 26 verse 11 chapter of Romans, he says in this way, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now what he's talking about there, I might say it's a strange place to start, but this is what he's talking about. He says, and so, and that properly interpreted means in this way, all Israel shall be saved. Now let me put it to you in a way you can understand it a little better what I think he's saying. All the verses up to that, he's saying all Israel is not going to be saved. That's what he's teaching. He says in this way, all Israel is not going to be saved. Then he gets to the 26th verse, he says, but in this way, all Israel is going to be saved. Because I've declared it. I've determined it. I have spoken it, and I'm going to pay for their sins. Now that's, I'm not going to the scripture, but you can go read that. But if you read up to that point, he's talking about branches being broken off, being cast away, and that some Gentiles are grafted in. And so here you, and he says, you better watch out, Gentile, don't get boastful, or you'll be broken off, and I can graft the natural branches back in. So you have a breaking off and a grafting in and a bringing back and casting away. He's not talking eternal.
Thank you. Amen.
He's talking about the kingdom of God that we're talking about tonight.
Amen.
So he says, in that way, in that kingdom here on earth that I gave them, promised them, but they thought it themselves unworthy of it. Now I'm bringing the Gentiles in. He says, but don't forget, all Israel is going to be saved eternally. But they're not going to be saved timely. That's the point he's making. He's talking about the kingdom of God. When he says all, when he goes to the 10th chapter, and of course we're familiar with the verse, my heart's desire for Israel, that they might be saved. He's talking about the salvation that we receive in this kingdom of God. When he says in the end chapters of the gospel, he says, Matthew, he says, go forth teaching them, and they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. He's talking about this kingdom right here.
Amen.
Believe in Jesus Christ, be baptized. There are some requirements that we need to understand, need to be met, to enjoy the blessings of this kingdom that
Amen.
I'm talking about. Now remember, Friendly Baptists, I don't have to teach you this very much, but there's younger generations come up we need to teach, that there's a difference whenever we talk about saved. We need to identify what we're talking about. Saved, it needs to be identified. That's a key to understanding the Scriptures and the Bible. Put them in their right place. So there's a salvation that we receive whenever we are obedient. There's a salvation, a deliverance that you get. And there's a deliverance or a salvation from the penalty of sin that we receive that's not by our works or anything we do. Now there's a separation. We need to understand that. And I think we all do here, except maybe some younger ones. So this is important to understand. So that's the kingdom that I want to talk about tonight for a little while. Now this kingdom is appointed unto some people in the 22nd chapter of Luke. You can go read there. Jesus is talking and says, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my Father's table in that kingdom. And you can go read the text there. But what is he talking about? What is he talking about when he says that? Now, I've been confused on that text, and I may still be confused, but I'm going to give you my understanding of what he's saying there. He's saying this, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. I've wrongfully taught that before in saying there's two separate kingdoms he's talking about, but that's not what he's saying. He's one kingdom, they coexist, and he says, I appoint unto you a kingdom, apostles, as I've appointed, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. See, there's one kingdom he's talking about. So what is he teaching? What is he saying? This is important. Because as we begin to see Scripture, we're going to see how they fit together and tie together. And so what he's teaching there is that I have taught you about this kingdom now, and I'm fixing to go away. You see the context. He said, I'm fixing to go. The disciple didn't understand that. Of course, we can go to John and see a lot of places where he's talking about it's expedient for me to go. And his disciples, if you go to the 22nd chapter of Luke, you'll see there that a couple of the disciples came to him and said, they understood the fact he said he was going to go away. He's going to be crucified. He's going to go away. They come and say, yes, Lord. And you go over to Matthew in the 20th chapter, I think, or the can't get exactly what chapter it is in Matthew. I think it's the 20th. But he says the same lesson being taught is Zebedee's children. His mother comes to it, James and John, who it is, and they say, look, when you go to your kingdom, let us be in charge. That's essentially what he's saying. who's going to be chief whenever you go, and which one of us is going to take over? And here's the lesson he gives. He says, look, you, in the Gentile world, there's bosses. And there's an echelon here. There's a boss, there's one under him, there's one under him. And, you know, the one that has everybody, he's going to be the benefactor. He's going to get the equity from it. He's going to get the benefits of it. He says, but look, not so with you. Not so in my kingdom. See, that's some characteristics of this kingdom. It's different than the way we naturally think. You go to the 20th chapter of Matthew, you see there's a story or a parable about a man needed some labor in a vineyard. He goes out to the vineyard and hires people from the first hour. And he hires people along as the day goes. He agrees with the first ones that you're going to get a penny. And then the others along were hired. And to the very end of the day, in the heat of the day, some of them only work an hour or so. And so comes the end of the day, he's going to pay out the money. Well, whenever he starts paying out, he pays everybody a penny. Well, what do you think about that? Have you ever murmured and complained about that, not getting the wages you think you ought to get? Well, in this kingdom, he says, the kingdom of God is this way. And he says, I'm sovereign to do whatever I want to do. I can do it the way I want to do it. And it doesn't matter what time you come in or what age you are. We're all in the same place here. You can receive blessing just as well. Boy, what a wonderful thing that is for us, isn't it? Oh, this kingdom is this way. That's a characteristic of this kingdom. But this kingdom, Jesus said, I appoint it unto you, apostles. I'll get back to that in just a minute, I hope. We go over to the 17th chapter of John. You go to the 17th chapter of John, what we call the priestly prayer. You go start in the 17th chapter of John, you read that whole chapter, you get down to the end, but it doesn't have an amen. There's a reason for that, because it's still going on today. It's not ended. And he's praying. But you go to see there where he's praying, and among other things, he says he prays to his Father, I have finished the work. Now what is he talking about? He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't gone to the cross and died and finished the work. That's the words we like to hear when he's on the cross, it is finished. And wonderful it is. He has finished the work. And some preachers already preached about that today. But I'm going to tell you, that's a wonderful finished work of Jesus Christ. But this work in the 17th chapter of John, he says, Father, I have finished the work. I have kept them that you gave me out of the world. Who's he praying for right there? He's praying for his apostles.
Yeah.
And he's saying, Lord, I've kept them except for that one we know. But he says that they might glorify you. I've glorified you and they might glorify you. What's he talking about? He's talking about this kingdom that I'm talking about today. Jesus says, I appoint to you, apostles, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. You go read the 17th chapter, this is what he's praying about. He says, I've given them my word. I've taught them. I've told them the things you wanted me to tell them, and it's going to glorify us. Take me back to heaven, Father, or put me where I can't get the exact wording, but you go read there. That's the essence of it. So what's he saying? What work has he finished? This is how important this kingdom is for us today. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and finished the work, but he also finished something else before he went there. It's something that we can have and enjoy and glorify him and enjoy the benefits of it, have a taste of heaven while we're here on earth.
Amen.
And Jesus thought it so important that he's going to do what it took. And he finished it. And he taught this diligently to these men. Now that's important.
Amen.
Preachers, we have a great responsibility. And members and participants in this kingdom of God, it's important for you to understand this principle. Because what I believe Jesus is doing in the 22nd chapter of Luke, when he says, I appointed to you a kingdom and my Father is appointed unto me, he's saying, look, I'm passing it on. I'm passing it on to you. I've established it. I've set it up. You go to the 17th chapter. I have prayed for you. I have taught you these things. And now you have the responsibility of teaching another generation. This is going to continue. Another parable is like a mustard seed that's planted in the ground. It springs up and it grows so big. This thing is going to get big, brothers and sisters. And it has today, hasn't it? This kingdom that we have. He says, I appoint unto you a kingdom. Pass it on. Teach others. And that's our responsibility, is to teach all things whatsoever he has commanded us, to teach them to another generation. So it's on and on and on. It's an everlasting kingdom. And in this kingdom, there are some requirements. What are some of the things to enter into this kingdom? First of all, what does the scripture say in John 3? He says, ye must be born again.
That's right.
To enter and to see, to enter or see this kingdom. Now, can you see the kingdom and not enter it? I think so. We see an example in the Old Testament. Moses, did he enter into what we see as a type of the church? No, he didn't, did he? But he saw it.
Amen.
There's a lot of God's people that can see it, but don't enter into it.
Amen.
And some people say, well, what is that? Is that eternal or is that timely or what? Either one. Either one. Doesn't matter. You're not going to be in heaven one day unless you're born again.
Amen.
We're not going to be in this earthly kingdom that we have a taste of heaven here on earth unless you're born again.
Amen.
You can't see it. You can't enter into it. So that's directly by God. And God borns us of the Spirit. Then after that, there are some other requirements. First of all, you must believe. You must believe. You know, sometimes we don't stress enough about belief. Belief's everything in this life, brothers and sisters. Now, that's not going to get us to heaven. We know that. But to have the joys of this kingdom and the joy that's in the kingdom, we got to believe.
Amen.
To enter in the kingdom, you got to believe. Before you believe, you got to hear the gospel, don't you? That's how important this gospel is, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus came forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating goes before that, doesn't it? We know that. It has to precede you understanding the gospel. But it does that through being born again. Then the preaching of the gospel is vitally important. You know, I went for many years in my life, not quite half anymore. I used to say half my life, but I've gotten a little older since then. So it's, but nevertheless, it's a long time. I went and I thought I was hearing the gospel. I've heard things about Jesus. But I've heard things that really didn't give me the joy I needed. Now, there was some good in it, but the bottom line is I still had a burden and a conviction because I knew I was a sinner. I was, this is what I call, just to get your attention, the Wizard of Oz phenomenon. The Wizard of Oz phenomenon. You might think, what in the world are you talking about? This is it. I went a long time saying the sinner's prayer. I'd lay down at night and I'd say, Lord, I've done those things. I'd ask people what to do. They say, go through this step and this step and this step. And I'd do those things. And I'd still say the sinner's prayer every night because I had a conviction in my heart that just words that I was saying couldn't do a thing. And lo and behold, I heard the gospel preached one day. See, I thought I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard about Jesus. I knew his name. But lo and behold, I heard a
gospel
that I've never heard before. This was the gospel, not another gospel. And when I heard the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ, I wanted to have part of that.
Amen.
I wanted to have part of that. And that gospel that I heard clicked in my heart. Now, this is the Wizard of Oz syndrome. I had the ability the whole time to have that peace. but I didn't have the knowledge. I wasn't told the right thing, you see. I kept doing the wrong thing. I kept doing based on what I did. And whenever I was told that you just trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, I said I had it the whole time. I just didn't know it. And so that's the principle. The gospel needs to be preached, and we need to believe the gospel. We need to repent, don't we? To enter in this kingdom, we need to repent. John come forth preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, I heard a preacher, this story about a preacher one time, said every time he'd get up, he'd preach on repentance. Every Sunday, preach on repentance. Finally, one day, somebody at church said, "Brother, you've been preaching about 3 months on repentance. When are you going to quit?" He said, "When somebody repents, I'll quit." So, repentance is necessary to enjoy the benefits and the joys of this kingdom that we're in. We need to be taught the things that need to be taught. As Jesus said, "I'm pointing to you a kingdom as my Father pointed to me." And that you need to teach it on. It needs to be carried on. We need to teach them the right things. And brothers and sisters, if the old Baptist church goes away, it's not going to be the right things taught. We need to continue on, realize the importance of our of teaching the next generation, the next one, and have preaching to the simplicity that the young ones can understand it. And also feed the adults. And what a wonderful thing it is. You know, when I try to simplify a sermon and I preach it, and I wonder if that's just a little too simple, I'll have some of the oldest members of the church who've been there the longest time compliment how wonderful a sermon that was. You can't get too simple. You can't get too simple to preach the Word of God. You know, I've read volumes of books on regeneration, how you're born again, and the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, even some by old Baptists and other writers, and it's just page after page. You know how many scriptures Jesus used to teach regeneration? 4 passages. Go to the book of John and read it. When he's teaching Nicodemus, 4 passages, he used 4 sentences. He taught the whole theology of regeneration. That's how simple it can be taught. So, we must preach the gospel. We must believe the gospel. We must repent. We need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. Unless you become as humble yourself as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, it's important for us to humble ourselves. I know all preachers can have their experiences, but I know some firsthand, some that have humbled themselves since, and some that still need to humble themselves. I have some people that would be Primitive Baptists today, but they're balking on being rebaptized. You know the problem? They don't humble themselves. The problem is pride. And I'll tell you today, if that's what's hindering you from coming into the old Baptist church, it's just a simple matter of humbling yourself to come into the kingdom of God that you feel to be the true kingdom here on earth. So it's important for us to realize we need to humble ourselves. Become as a little child. That's what he's teaching. I'm the oldest of 7 children. I remember at an early age, me being a teenager, still having some little toddlers, and I'd take my little brother and I'd set him up on the table there, and I'd back up a step or two, and I'd say, "Okay, come on." So what do? You just step right off. Just step right off. He was a little child. You know what that's telling me and teaches me? Teaches me that unless we become that way and that dependent on Him,
amen,
then we cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need to humble ourselves as a little child. You know the scriptures time and time again, and the Bible says things like this. You may not have understood them before. It says, "Unless you love me or more than your than houses and families and brothers and, or children or whatever, mother and father, you're not worthy to enter the kingdom of God. You're not worthy be in my kingdom, not worthy to follow me." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about that very principle. You need to put him first.
Amen.
Put him first. You know, there's a great cost in entering into this kingdom. A great cost.
That's right.
You know, we talk about free grace. It is free grace, isn't it? But there's a cost to be a disciple of God. There's a cost to be in this kingdom. You know, and that cost is very simple. The cost is very simple. I can sum it up in one word. You go look, and I'll give you the word in just a minute. But you go look at the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler. Well, he had a problem with pride, I think. He had a problem with sorrow. And you're going to have a problem with sorrow in this world. You're not going to have the joy that you can have in this world unless you do what the Lord said. And He said that go give up all these things, sell all you have. That's your problem. You know what the problem was? He wasn't putting Him first.
That's right.
Wasn't putting Him first. So there was a cost involved. The cost was everything. Everything. You go look at the field of parables of the pearl of great price. That, what was the cost to purchase that? Everything. Everything. There was a field there. What was the cost? Go sell everything and bought the field. So this is the cost it is. It's everything. If you have something in the way, something in the way of serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, brothers and sisters, you're not worthy to have the blessings and joys that are entailed in this kingdom.
Amen.
It's beyond description what the joys are. In this life, you're going to have sorrow, but you're going to have joy in the Holy Ghost in this kingdom. You can go through economy crashes. You can go through deaths, and you can go through sickness with the Lord holding your hand and you walking in this kingdom.
Amen.
But it costs a cost involved, brothers and sisters. And whatever it is, get it out of the way. There's confession that is needed in order to enter this kingdom. Confession. Confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about this kingdom. Enjoy and enter in this kingdom. He's not talking about eternal heaven. He's talking about the joy in this kingdom, brothers and sisters. And it is confession that must be made. Over in the 12th chapter of John, where you see a man there that believed the Lord's teaching, the Lord's preaching. But what was it? He loved the praise of men more than the things of God. So he would not confess. He believed, but he wouldn't confess. You know, I had a conversation with somebody one time that went to the 10th chapter of Romans and wanted to debate that. That's one thing they couldn't debate. Well, here was a man that believed, and that's all you got to do to go to heaven. But the Scripture said you got to confess also, and he wouldn't confess. So where are you going to put him? Well, they didn't know where to put him. The bottom line is that you can't put him in the kingdom of heaven that we're talking about tonight, but he's going to be in the kingdom up there one day in eternal glory. You see, we need to... confession must be made. And then baptism. There's some other another list of things, a whole list of things, and I'm not touching on all of them, but baptism. I already talked about baptism some, that we need to humble ourselves. Whether you've been baptized before by another order that the old Baptists don't acknowledge, or whether it's the first time, you need to realize the importance of it. The Lord Himself didn't do it to go to eternal heaven, but He did it for our example for us.
Amen.
He went the great means, a long way walking to do that. And it's taught over and over in Scripture the importance of it. And it is a salvation in it. It's a mouth salvation, what Peter tells us. Not to wash away the filth of the flesh, but to have a good conscience towards God.
Amen.
And the bottom line is, brothers and sisters, it's a requirement that must be met in order to enter the joys of this kingdom and the blessings that we can get. Yes, you can get some crumbs from the master's table. You can get some benefits. You can get some good teachings. But to enjoy the full benefits of the kingdom of God that cannot be explained or described to you, there's requirements that we need to understand that need to be met. And it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing, this kingdom that we have.
Amen.
A wonderful place for us to abide in this life. Sometimes I forget the things and that I need to remember. I don't do the things I ought to do to receive the joy that I need. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the outside of the kingdom. But I'm going to tell you that wherever we get our minds right and place them in the right place and trust in Him, believe in Him, humble ourselves, confess Him, and believe me, the blessings are great. The blessings are great. I'm glad to be in this kingdom that we have here, that we can abide in today. It's an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that never ends, a kingdom that's not governed by the things of this world or leaders in this world, and there's not any chiefs here. It's all servants. By the way, I don't know if I touch this, and I'll end with this. He says, you want to be the greatest in the kingdom? Be the lowest. Be the servant. Be the minister. He doesn't mean the preacher up here, but he says minister to others. Minister to others. And you're going to be lifted up. You're going to be lifted up when you're a servant, brothers and sisters. That's contrary to the world today, contrary to the echelon of levels in business world. It's just the opposite. But it's the greatest thing that we can ever experience in this life. Is this kingdom here. It's the greatest thing we can ever teach our children about the blessings that come from this kingdom.
Amen.
It's something that needs to be taught from generation to generation to generation. And that's the example that Jesus left for us to continue on in this wonderful kingdom that He's given us. Brother Moses.
Amen. Amen.